That's right. Right under Anna's lip.
Oh, I'm just going to do that.
Hey, so guys, good job. I think we had a great time. Was it last Friday that we met? Or Saturday? Yes. Was it Saturday?
Yeah.
I can't remember what day it was.
It was Friday. Yeah.
No, dude, that was a lot of fun. That was a great little hangout. Amanda, thank you for hosting that. Like I said, that was fun watching Jay take everyone to the hole.
Yeah,
what do you mean?
It was, yeah.
Jay, you're just like all these skills that you just keep hidden from us and everything. He's so humble, too. Look at him. Just like, he talketh not of me. So, but no, man, that was a good time. We had a blast. Trying to think, like, should we be proactive? And how crazy is June looking?
Is it a lot?
A lot of grad parties.
So we should
plan it now.
A Friday. Huh?
You guys, this is the last week of school for some of you guys, right?
Woo!
Huh? Last day today. I know my kids are excited.
You already have it.
You were excited too, Mace?
You know,
I was about to say, you might be in high school. No, you're not, though. You're going to 8th grade. Ethan's going to be in high school.
Literally half of school.
Wow. Jay, you're not going to be in high school, are you? Are you going to 8th?
Oh,
my goodness. Jay, Ethan, Jordan's going to high school. Look at this, man.
It's the 3rd grade.
Dude, could you imagine like an 8th grader being that dude's size?
They are, right?
There's a
7th
grader
who's
like 6 foot or 2, I swear. Wait,
Jordan, how tall are you? 6'2". Is this, oh, a 7th grader?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, there's a, like a freshman, like 7 foot. He played baseball.
What?
Yeah.
Does he play basketball too?
When he goes in the doorway.
Oh, dude, you know that the basketball coach hates that.
Dude, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Put it in. Yeah.
I can't even imagine like all the stuff he's. Wow. Okay. 7 foot. Man, that's nuts. He's probably gonna die really early.
The
only reason I say that is because like people that are really really tall like that, they're like
that
giants.
True.
They have a enlarged heart syndrome.
Why are you looking at me like I'm?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want the kid to die. But yeah. But if you're that young in 7th grade and you're gonna be 7 foot, it's like, dude, you better get saved real fast.
Get saved fast.
Huh?
You wouldn't even be done growing.
Jeez. Or it could be like one of these things where he starts out really fast and then he slows down, like, and so he just starts to shrink. But he's probably he's just too tall anyway already. Probably too much.
Maybe he'll start shrinking.
Are you sure he's 7 foot?
I'm sure he's had like 4 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I'm like the highest on the team. He's like,
is he taller than Jerry Hensley? Okay. Okay. So he's not 7 foot. He's all right.
It was hypothetical.
Yeah. One of Jared Hensley's friends was on our lifeline one time, and he was 7 foot.
7 foot, yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
That's just inconceivable.
Because he played in the
That's so tall.
I was gonna say, it might be, if his parents are that big, it's probably normal. If he's like, if he has normal sized parents and he's like that, that's.
Yeah, what the heck?
That's weird too, dude. That's weird. Yeah, I don't know. But your mom is like kind of tall though, for a girl. She seems like she's tall.
That's what, in sports and stuff, like when colleges are recruiting, they care more about the mom's height than the dad's.
Why do they even care? Like, if the kid himself, like.
If you're in high school, guys,
like, we'll recruit you if you're going to have tall kids, huh?
Guys keep growing until they're, like, 24.
Mm.
So if you're in high school,
that's
24.
True.
I thought it was, like, 21.
Maybe that's your brain. Like, your brain keeps going.
Maybe that's it. Your brain. I've actually heard of that. Like, the brain doesn't fully develop till at least in guys, in, like, 24.
Like, my brother was 5'8".
I've heard of that.
Are you serious?
About to uncheck.
That's crazy.
Your brain is still developing.
Maybe it is.
Probably.
Wow. That boy is big.
I'm going to be in a wheelchair.
Like,
can't talk.
That's crazy.
So, do you want to be
a Caleb? Can't even imagine that. Caleb, when does conditioning start, bro?
June 1st is camp.
Next week. Is that Monday?
Tuesday.
So it's 31st? The 31st is Monday?
Because that's Memorial Day.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. What else we got going on? How many of you guys are going to be hitting up the pool this summer?
Yeah.
Sierra's ready to go. I said, how many of you guys are going to be hitting up the pool? Jordan, what's up, buddy?
Hey.
Here, we got more room over here in the side view where you can put a chair next to Drake or whatever. Very good. But yeah, nobody's sitting. That's Bryn's backpack right there, by the way. I'm trying to think. And Colton, you got baseball rolling pretty hot right now, right? Are you guys getting rained out?
Yeah, I
just
have two games
tonight. Okay. Dang, dude. And we got softball coming up. Okay, so announcement. Jenny reminded me of this. If you're a girl and you're going to be a freshman, you can play softball. If you're, yes, Ethan. If you're a guy and you're a sophomore, it's because of that. We have to make compensate for muscle. So if you're entering a sophomore year or entering your freshman year?
Stephanie.
Freshman for girls. So Macy's got to be...
Oh,
you're yeah, eighth grade. Yeah,
trying to put her in high school.
No, I'm the captain. I told my dad I wouldn't be captain. He said no.
But you're mature enough. You can do it.
If I'm a captain, you can be my co-captain.
Yes, Amanda.
So I signed up to play, and I have like only from 5:30 to 6:30. Mm-hmm.
Tell the Lord. First you want to tell the Lord. Tell it to Jesus. No. Tell me. Yeah. He's the league commissioner. And he'll figure out like what to do with that. So. Anybody have any questions about softball? Or any activities coming up? I don't know. Is it 4:35, 6:30 again?
Yeah.
I think it's... The date? I think it's June 12th. Did it say June 12th? Saturday, June 12th?
Games on Saturday night starting June 12th, running through July 31st.
All right. So, I think it's the same times, 4 to 6:30 or something like that. You ready for that? Where are you going to? Nine.
He's going into seven.
All these, dude, I didn't know you're a sixth grader, bro. Oh my gosh, man.
That's crazy.
So we got Jay, Ethan, and Jordan. Wow. All right. And then we got Kenzie Kennicott that's down at State right now. She's going to be a senior. Selma's going to be a senior. Selma, I thought you were graduating this year for some reason. I keep putting you like...
I was thinking that too.
Yeah. should we be throwing a party right now or something?
Yeah, like, no,
how does this work? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Aren't you going to the house yet?
Yeah, yeah. Are these your kids running around? All right, that's cool. Anybody got anything to add that you want to throw out to the group? Anything interesting?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? Yeah, I like them legs, boy. Woo!
No, any cool things happened to you guys this week you want to share with the group or anything crazy?
So
Kenzie, we missed you on Tuesday because we got done with everything. Ethan did a really good devotion. We took prayer requests.
Speaking of my sleep schedule.
Oh, here we go.
Night I slept for almost 12 hours.
So you're all caught up.
So wait. No. You were free, you just like were sleeping? You didn't know that we were meeting? Dang. You must have needed it, though, because you haven't been sleeping very good for a while, girl.
I was lying
on sleep. Okay. Wait, what'd you say?
She never does.
Oh, you never do?
I never do.
Guys, sleep is important. We gotta find something out.
I was inside a refrigerator.
That's right, your project, man. I forgot about that.
It's very cold. I would have rather been on Zoom.
No, we have two huge refrigerators and two huge freezers at my job, and they're not. Yeah, they are, dude.
It is.
What is one of them, like, -4? The other one's just, like, constant 30
or
something?
Yeah, it feels like that. -20?
Yeah. Okay. So did everything get taken care of? Are you pretty much done with New Jersey?
June 14th.
The 14th?
June 14th.
All right. Well, I mean, that's better than, like, endless, you know, so eternity. Okay. Joshy, are you still at the bank? Daddy Big Bucks? Daddy Warbucks?
Zach, what's Kenzie's story?
Which Kinsey? This one?
Yes.
She. Oh, didn't she have a story? Or you just? No, she just said like she was reading. No.
I think she's gonna.
No,
say
you
something.
Cut her off.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, go ahead. Off. Sorry. Keep going. What's
and
your
then
story?
You jump my sleep
schedule. I'm sorry. I mean to jump you.
Anyways, I heard that they're not gonna call it freshman anymore because a man is sexist.
Wow, good point.
So they're gonna call
fresh
it freshman, second year, third year, fourth year.
Creative.
Big brother and big sister has said, become a big.
I saw that. No.
You can't
I was driving into Raytown, and I saw it going up the hill. I was like, become a big. Like, oh, my gosh.
We got the fresh gender.
Cool, man.
He's a fresh gender.
Fresh human.
He's a fresh gender now.
Fresh gender.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fresh gender.
Yeah.
There
is a
See, no, when I was in school, they called it Gay Straight Alliance. So now they just want it to be at all, I guess.
We didn't have that in the country. You would have got shot.
Gay Straight Alliance? Yeah, wow. No, they definitely had that mess, man. It was ridiculous, dude. So, yeah, they're just progressing on through. All right. That's right. There you go for progress. Anything else? Yeah, June. Don't forget June, Pride Month. We're ready for that. That's right. It is Gay Pride Month. A couple years, only reason I know that, a couple years ago, I did like an article in youth group about that or something. So.
Juneteenth,
too.
Juneteenth.
It's synonymous, gays and blacks.
Self-burn.
Oh, crap. Probably shouldn't say that.
I don't care.
Is that it? Good story, Kinsey. Anybody else have something to throw in there? Who sponsored it? Of course, you would have to. She would have to.
Not even.
No, when we did an open mic. Hey, listen up, guys.
I
have not. I know. We need to get back to it though. No, so Kinsey Lee just said, like, her principal isn't straight, and she's the one that sponsors that club. I've noticed a lot more educators and administrators in schools have become a lot more gay now. Not becoming gay, like, they've hired more homosexuals and stuff
that.
It's a man?
And I'm like,
it's a guy.
No, it's
a
guy. I think.
Oh.
I
it's hard to tell.
It is.
It can be so.
Okay, every gay female teacher I've ever had has been way more involved with their students than any other people.
Absolutely.
And they're like more compassionate and stuff.
100%.
And they taught us that in the teaching program I was in, that like that's kind of why they're hiring more gay women.
Yeah, sure they are. But I'll say this. Every I say that too. Almost every homosexual person I've known has been way more outgoing, a lot more friendly, a lot more liberal. I mean, obviously, but liberal as far as like sharing, like there are things like we had a guy at our job. His name is Darren. We call him Gayron because he's gay, but no. Anyway, he used to buy pizza for everybody, like at lunch.
Oh yeah.
Like out of his own pocket, just go buy pizzas for everybody. Now think about that. Why is that? So normally, I think naturally, everyone knows, like the Bible says, homosexuality is against nature. So in order to take something that's in people's consciences and they know is naturally not right, in order to get people to go along with that, you have to play a game that's above everyone else. So you have to, you know, be more friendly, you have to be more outgoing and stuff like that. You have to do things that are where you're reaching out to try to bring people in on a level that other people aren't. And because of that, people take that. If you're really like ignorant and simple, you look at that and say, oh, well, see, why are we treating these people bad? They're nicer than everyone else. No. They're just more subtle. They're more conniving. They're more deceptive than everyone else. Just like the devil. Just like what Adam and Eve thought. Oh, mean God telling us not to eat of this fruit off of this tree. You know, that's what the devil made him think. That's what homosexualities make you think. Look how nice we are compared to the rest of society. We're the persecuted ones. We're the ones that are the victims here. We just want everyone to be as happy as us, but look, people treat us horribly. So, you guys have to have a trained eye. You have to be smarter than the problem and understand what's going on around there. So, and I'm not saying that you guys don't, but I think that's the same reason why most of Brady and Bryn's teachers are probably going to be homosexuals, because they are trying to normalize that to the point to where when kids, you know, see someone come against that, the church, the Christians, the Bible believers are the ones that look like the outcasts, the bigots in society that we need to get rid of. Eventually, they want Bible believers to look just as extreme as a Muslim terrorist would, so that then they can justify persecuting us and getting rid of us. And what they're going to do with that, once they start doing that to us,
eventually that's going to go so far to when the rapture happens, and then it's just going to translate right on over to the Jews themselves also. So anybody that's associated with this Bible, the Christians and the Jews, is eventually going to get ostracized and persecuted in this world. Now, why is that? Well, who's the king of this world? Who's over this? It's the devil. Okay, so start like watching how the Lord's developing these things and what he's doing when as he prepares to come back and rapture us and take us home, and as he gets ready to take the Jew into the tribulation. All this stuff is developing around you. And don't just let it be like a little joke society plays on you, but notice this stuff and everything. So, all right. Anybody order pizza? No, just playing. All right. So, what's next? What is that? good point. Youth event.
It can be at our house.
Don't order pizza.
All right. Macy's called it out. She's going to take the reins on that. We'll keep talking about it in the future. So, we set Friday for sure. What we got to do now is we got to kind of check. Like you guys said, there's a ton of graduation parties. There's some weddings. We're just going to find the right Friday.
Try not to make it June 18th.
June.
Try not to.
Yeah, June. Yeah. What's that?
Maybe.
Oh, boy.
June 25th,
prospectively.
That's Juneteenth, isn't it?
Juneteenth is the 19th.
18th is the
19th. That's the 19th. Okay.
The
13th. If it's both, I think that's
going to
be at our house.
Oh, Timothy Project.
Thank you.
Arch Nemesis. Yeah.
Let's do a joint one again.
Is it the...
We can do a joint one.
What is it? No, the joint thing?
No.
No.
No, that's fine, but that's not...
So what were you saying nothing for? Brent, what's up? Alright. So prospectively, this is what we'll do. We'll check some dates. I'll go home and see like what's on the I'll go downstairs after church and see what's on the calendar down there. And then I'll go home and we'll figure this thing out. We'll get back with you. You'll have first dibs on it. And then Sierra.
I was thinking, even though that we don't have any activity.
I think they're planning on doing that. We'll talk about it, but I think we've kind of been thinking about that for sure. Yeah, we can set something up. I mean, I think now that we're out of school, we can kind of get an idea, like we kind of get our summer schedule set out. I think we're definitely going to do something, even if we all take a hit and do like a lock-in or something. We're going to do something like just really kid and big.
Yeah. What
should we do?
I love the lock-in.
Wait, what is it?
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun, like just having everybody that would have been at camp just come together. We'll just all have fun and hang out. Just like we'll just do a Friday into a Saturday morning and just make it big, and then maybe there, like we can have the seniors give some devotions. But I'll talk to Danny and Jamie and we'll figure out what we're gonna do. Just kinda like to kind of supplement for camp. And maybe that Saturday we go to Worlds of Fun, dead tired.
Oh my god.
That'd be great, guys.
The next day.
That'd be beautiful,
Friday.
Actually. Yeah. Actually, I love that because then you guys won't want to stay there that long, and then we can leave early and go home and like
that's
crash the rest of
the. That's the goal.
That's right. Leave Rules of Fun by 12 by noon. Sleep the rest of the day until Sunday. Beautiful. So, I think that's all I got. That's all I got. You boys got something to share over there? Something pretty funny.
We're just talking about today.
What happened today?
A lot of stuff happened today.
Well, sure. That's what we're up
to.
You had a rap battle.
Did you video it?
I did.
He lost a rap battle in school.
She said, okay, we like the music, but you're not allowed to video. I was like, okay.
Really? I'm shocked.
I got a video of
him.
Show us.
Okay. Oh. Selma said you need to show us. So what were some of your lines, Ethan?
Show us.
You what?
I didn't get my friend videoed me.
Well, just give us some of your lines. What were some of your lines? Oh, that's holy? You can't.
I know Jordan, but.
All right, Jordan said.
Yeah.
Honestly, he's like,
Ethan, so you can like still make friends.
Like
no.
That's not what I said.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad. It's better than I can do. I can't do that stuff. So. I feel like Spilker could do it. I feel like that's all Spilker does.
I'm actually
pulling
Kinetic right now.
You know what?
I'm Colton
Kinetic. I know Colton Kinetic. Oh, I know for sure. The one that just like, well, no, just like what happened on Friday, I bet the same thing. I bet Jay can cut all you guys up and rap battle. That's why he just keeps it all to himself. That's right. Jordan, you missed it. Jay was with him on Friday.
He was, man.
What?
So,
I was carrying my team, though.
Checking availability.
I believe that.
Oh.
Really?
Oh,
here we go.
What?
Jack, are you on
your phone?
No,
I guess.
I
was
saying.
Oh, my
God.
What?
That's so cool.
All right, everyone, make sure you have a hymnal. Let's get some songs in. It's been a while since we sung. Get your hymnals out.
That was so cool.
You
do that during
time.
I saw that the other day and I was like, I don't know what that is.
You want an extra one?
I got like five of them up here. Never mind, Jared. Jared, here you go. There are like three of them up here on the podium somehow.
Of course, I couldn't pass.
All right, here we go, guys. Anyone needs an extra one?
You wouldn't move your life. Rick was the
place. He was.
That's right.
He was on your team.
All right.
I picked you, bro. Dang, all right, I'm not picking you anymore. All right. I'm not
Let's go ahead and pray.
You were first round draft pick.
Wow.
I saw
Then we get rolling. Colton, open us up, bro.
Yes, share with me.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening and bringing everyone here safely. Please give Zach the words to say in the devotion and just keep everyone safe in the devotion and have a good rest of the night. Or else in Jesus' name.
Amen. Is anybody going to be super hot if we turn this fan off?
I am hot.
Yes.
You are hot.
Bothering you.
I'm fine. We can keep it on. This is going to help my spit project, so I'm just letting
you know. You got to open it so we can read
No.
Yeah, dude.
All right.
You scared because you're not
209. 209. Let's start with
209.
That one.
209.
It's always a good one. I think that's grace greater than our sin.
Oh, my
God. It sure is.
It's not 209, stupid.
All right, here we go. 209. Verse 1. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Marvelous grace, God. It's marvelous grace,
God's grace,
and grace that is greater than all our sin.
Sin and despair like the sea waves cold,
they
threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Most grace, God grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that I cannot hide. Oh, what can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Most grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Most grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, matchless grace, so freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive?
God's grace,
marvelous grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon. Sin and a new word begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
I'm saved.
Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is
Amen.
All gone.
I'm saved.
Rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, join heir with the Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one.
I'm saved.
Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone.
I'm saved.
Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, He spake and His will it was done. Great price of my pardon, His own precious Son. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father.
All hail to the
hail
Son.
To the Spirit.
All hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone.
I'm saved.
Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified. wide world.
431. 431, I love to tell the story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it.
More wonderful.
More wonderful.
Amen. It never gets old. It's always good.
I love to tell the story.
For some have never heard.
For some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it sings of glory, I sing the new news.
It'll be that old story.
It'll be that old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
413, been a minute since we did this one. We're going to sing the verse a little slow, then we're going to amp up the chorus. Here we go.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon His holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna! Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right we ne'er can fail. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna! Christ Christ is captain of the mighty throne. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna! Christ is captain of the mighty throne.
334. One of old Drake's favorites. Old Drake. Old Drake.
Hey, man. No, it's right there, bro. Come on.
All right. Be thou my vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, say that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou with me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. Our King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach Heaven's joys, O bright Heaven's Son. Heart of my own heart, whatever befalls, still be my vision, O ruler of.
485. Does that revive us again?
Yeah.
All right. How many guys, how many of your voices are getting weak or sore?
Well, no, not really.
Dude, I feel like I haven't belted out like this in a while. 485. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Thine the glory, revive us again. All right, here we go. Verse 1.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Praise thee, O God, for thy Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
All right, we have time for one more since Anna picked a fast one.
I like that one.
I like that one too. It's one of my favorites. We can do praise him, do a slower one. Alex's favorite, he keeps me singing. Is that 493? Or 483? Which one?
483.
No, it's not 493.
It's
from 453. 453. What's up? That was a good idea. That was a good idea, Brent. All right, he keeps me singing. Here we go.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus is sweet and low. Here I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife, discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath the sheltering wings. Always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing.
What's his name?
My Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Sometimes the path seems rough and steep. See his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
And here we go back.
Soon he's coming back to welcome me. Far beyond the starry sky, I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high.
What's his name?
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as
on
I
that
go. Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
All right, sit down, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you that your name, your Son's name, the name above all names, Jesus, Lord, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, it is the sweetest name for us. Lord, and I thank you for that, because in that name is salvation, in that name is deliverance, in that name is safety from all the nonsense that's in this world. Lord, we thank you for that. I pray that tonight you just open up our hearts and give us what you've got prepared for us. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, tonight, guys. First of all, how's everyone doing? People are getting out of school, probably excited, getting ready for summer. But you're probably just going to sit around the house and do nothing. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys get excited for these days, but no, it's all right. I know we actually look forward to getting out of school. But today, guys, I just kind of want to talk about two little topics. Putting off something and putting on something. And what kind of got me thinking about this was just kind of like where we're at in society today. If you kind of think about what we've been going on, society or just the world we live in today tells us like there's a lot of things that they put on us, whether it's physically, socially, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, or economically. Yet there's only one that's really worthwhile in those things that I mentioned, and it's the spiritual side. But this is the thing that I've always noticed. One of the biggest things we've been asked to do recently is put something over our face. It's called a mask. And I know for the last year and a half, we've all had our complaints about it, or maybe just kind of put up with it because it was what we were told to do. You know, but like I said, thankfully, those mandates have been lifted. Yet, you know what? Even though those mandates have been lifted, yet many people are still walking around with a mask on. And I'm not talking about a physical mask. Did you know we wouldn't need so many, and this is just another thought on this concept of why we wear a mask or just why people wear a mask. But did you know that we wouldn't need so many beauty products if we just simply exercised, ate right, and lived clean lives? But in American fashion, we'd rather just pay for something for a temporary fix rather than a permanent fix. So this is what I kind of want to talk about today. Just like, what are we putting on? What do we put on? I broke it down into two things. Ladies, what do we put on today? Let's go down this list that I made. Women, we put on hair, we put on wigs, we put on nails. Ethan probably puts on makeup, so he might be in the ladies category. Women put on eyelashes, they put on eyebrows. Sometimes they get, you know, new lips put in or things like that. They wear earrings, they put on necklaces, they put on rings, bracelets, piercings, face mask, and I'm talking about the ones that you guys, like, after you take your makeup off and all that stuff, like, you got lotion you put on, you have perfumes you put on, you have shampoo, you have conditioner, you have tanning lotion, you have sunblock, you have tattoos you put on, you have hats, glasses, scarves, jackets, jeans, dresses, heels, pumps, wedges, Crocs, Chacos, purses. I mean, the list just keeps going on. I don't know if I missed any, if you guys can think of it. But Ethan would know about that, considering of all people. So, yeah, I mean, and guess what? I didn't leave the guys out. Yeah, nail polish too. Thank you, Brent. And so, now let's look at guys. What do guys put on? They put on, you know, jeans. They put on shirts. They put on jackets. They put on Jordans. They put on Nikes. They put on Adidas. They even put on the nasty Crocs or the nasty Chacos or those nasty Birkenstocks. Women love those things. They wear slides. They put on backpacks. They put on tattoos also. They put on glasses. You know, some men like me, they put just for men in their hair. You have, you know, they put on weight. They put on muscle. They put on skinny jeans. Ethan. They put on, you know, they have Yeezys. They have hair gel. Prayerfully, they put on deodorant. You know, when I was in school coming up in middle school, this is where all the body sprays started coming out, like Axe and Bod. I mean, so you go into a middle school locker room and it smelled like Must, poop, and Axe body spray. You know, like you put those three things together, boy, that's like a nuclear bomb. So, what else do we put on? I mean, you have watches, you have chains. You put in grills or teeth. They have hats. They wear jerseys, headbands, headphones, earrings. And unfortunately today, some men do put on makeup. And it's a sad place to, you know, yeah, Ethan, where we at? But no. And so you look at those things. How many of those things that I mentioned are for your spiritual side of your body? Zero. Not one of them was for your spiritual side of your body. And that's exactly the problem. Everything in our life is built upon us putting on something for the physical sense, the physical side of who we are. And guess what? We put all those things on to fit a certain image. My question is, what image are you trying to depict? Why do we put the clothes on that we put on? Why do we wear the things that we wear? What image are we trying to portray to people? All those things we do for our dead flesh, they won't last but for a few years. But for our spiritual body, the thing that will last for eternity, what do we actually put on? How do we actually prepare it or equip it? So the last couple things that I want to talk about, especially just with what's going on today, is just the last couple things that the world is really heavy on recently is the last things they put on us are certain attitudes, mindsets, or belief systems. So there's a lot of different things that you can put on in the physical sense. It's not all just about your clothing or your material. It can be a mindset. It can be an attitude. It can be a way of life. It can be a culture. And all these things are exactly what we're experiencing today. And when you really look at that, everything that we're dominated by in this world is a physical sense, or is physically based. And not many things cover the spiritual element. So what I wanted to look at today was a nice little story over in Colossians. Let's turn there. Colossians chapter 3. And over here in Colossians, this is a great story because in the first two chapters, what we have going on is, Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, and he's, trying to get them back on track. And it's a great picture of where we're at today and what we need fixed within our own lives. And I'm not talking about other churches. I'm not talking about the person next to you. I'm talking about you as an individual, you within your own personal relationship with the Lord. The only way that we can give these lessons, guys, and I'm speaking personally for me, is by looking within myself and looking at things I need to work on myself. So please don't think that I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself, and I'm making these lessons at the same time. So the first thing you see within Colossians, we're trying to figure out who Christ is. You know, isn't it crazy today that we're in the information age, yet we don't know who Christ is still yet this day? We have all this knowledge, but knowledge isn't all that good. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to the news recently, but just in the past year and a half. But one day you'll get a notification: masks are required to be worn here. The next day, masks aren't required to be worn here, or the disease or the virus can spread this way, or actually it can't spread this way. You're getting all this misinformation, but yet us as Christians, we don't have that. We don't have that problem because we have one true authority that's perfect and has stayed that way since it's been formed and created. And, so we don't have to have that doubt. We don't have to question, what's going on. So the first thing that they were trying to find out in the book of Colossians was who Christ was. The second part was just understanding, the issues of the church today. And, and the biggest things that their issues were within chapter 2 was, guess what? They were spoiled. Through philosophy, vain deceit, the tradition of men, and the rudiments of this world. That's exactly where the church is today. Because guess what? There's more of the church, there's more of the world within the church than there is the Bible within the church, unfortunately. We've adopted the cultures of society rather than adopting the culture of the Bible and our forefathers who have come before us. But the chapter I want to focus on is chapter 3. And in chapter 3, he tells us basically how to get back. So like I said, in chapter 2, he gives us the warning. Look over there in Colossians 2:8. Colossians 2:8, he says this: "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So clearly there's someone we're supposed to be following. And it's one person. It's very simple. Look, there's three things that they try to get you with: philosophy, vain deceit, and the tradition of men. Three things. But yet, the tradition of men after the rudiments of the world, and then that's four, I guess you can say. And then lastly, but there's truly only one person that we should be following. So it shouldn't be hard for us to I guess you could say, not get lost in that journey. And the thing that I saw with this is the problem for me is, as I said before, is we're so I'm so focused on putting on something physically rather than putting on something spiritually. The world is always trying to put their viewpoint on us, and you know, that's it. Who cares about the world's viewpoint? At the end of the day, we're held accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. So over here in chapter 3, I'm going to talk about some things, first of all, that we must put off. Did you know for a farmer to be a good farmer, he can't like weeds? If a farmer likes weeds, they're going to kill his crop. They're going to smother his crop. They're going to destroy his crop. Well, guess what? There are certain things that we have to put off in order for us to put on the right stuff, the right clothing, the right material, the right wear, I guess you can say. Because at the end of the day, if you just put too much of something on something, what happens? It gets smothered out and it dies. Okay, there's no room for growth. Have you guys ever, you know, when you were kids, try to like put on like your parents' clothing and stuff like that, or their shoes and things of that nature? It's like they don't fit, right? It's like you're trying to, you know, march around in your dad's shoes. You're trying to march around in his big coat or his jacket or something like this. It's like you can't move. You can't do what you're meant to do in it. And that's the thing. It's like sometimes we put so much on ourselves without first getting rid of what we need to get rid of. So the first thing we're going to look at is what we need to put off. There's some things we need to put off before we can put on the right stuff. Let's pick it up in verse 8. And we're going to read down through verse 14. Do I have any volunteers to read? Sierra. Chapter 3. Verse 14.
And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness.
That's it. So right here, he starts off with a great list of things that we have to get rid of within our lives. So like I said, to be a good farmer, you have to hate weeds. You can't just love every plant that's out there. You have to hate weeds in order for your crop to grow. So there's some weeds we got to get rid of our lives. So what are these weeds that we need to get rid of? Verse 8, it says this, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. You notice these are all these things that this person comes out of their mouth. What does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart that our mouth speaks. So what's on this person's heart? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. And so guess what? What's in their heart comes out of their mouth. What comes out of your mouth on a daily basis? That's a good picture of what's on your heart. It's the greatest picture about what's on your heart. And he goes down this list of what we have to get rid of. Okay, the first thing is anger. Anger is a good thing to have, but at the same time, there's some things that we hold on to. And guess what anger turns into? Anger turns into bitterness. Anger turns into bitterness. And we know what it talks about over in Hebrews, how that root of bitterness just spreads and spreads and spreads. I don't know if any of you have had the joy of trying to dig out a tree or a bush or anything that has very deep roots. Let me tell you something. It's not fun. But at the same time, it's a great object lesson. This happened actually earlier in COVID. I was actually over on my brother William's house, and he had these three tree stumps in his backyard that needed to be dug up. And something that I noticed about that whole process was it sucked. No, But outside of that was just the fact of what really went into actually getting those roots up and out of the situation. You had to dig out the dirt. You had to dig out all of the dirt so you could actually get the root or the stump exposed. Then once you got the stump exposed, you could actually get under it and pry it up and get rid of it. Or you could actually start to hack it down the middle and separate it. But, you know, the first thing we had to do was remove the dirt. Once we removed the dirt, then the next step in the process was we started chopping off the main roots. There's main roots that these trees have, and that's the second part about getting it disconnected. So once we removed the dirt, we started chopping away the main roots to the tree. Once we start hacking away the main roots to the tree, then we can start working to get under that that whole stump and then pop it up or just to cut it in half. But the thing was, it was a very, very time-consuming process. And the thing about anger is when you let that thing just settle within your heart, like I said, it becomes bitterness. And ultimately, it leads to the second thing. It makes you want to commit an action against someone, which is wrath in this case. Wrath is always talked about as in the sense of God's action or judgment coming down upon a man. And you know what gets a lot of people into trouble today is them taking matters into their own hand rather than just leaving it to God. And so they think that they have the right to basically bring wrath or action upon someone because of their actions. And when they do that, it leads to a bad situation. So the first two things you said to get rid of, anger. The second thing, wrath. The third thing is malice. So once again, malice is just the communication that someone is having in a bad way about someone. They're continuing to talk about this. So clearly you can see that this thing has festered within this person and they haven't gotten rid of it. The next thing is blasphemy. Does anyone know what blasphemy is? No one knows what blasphemy is. Wow, okay. Well, how can we put on what we need to put on if we don't know what blasphemy is and get rid of the things we need to get rid of? Blasphemy is basically just speaking evil of God. Well, guess what? That can happen in two forms. How many of you have ever had a coach or a teacher or someone you've been around that's like, you know, use God's name in vain? I know I have. That's blasphemy. Okay, that's a form of blasphemy. Well, guess what? I bet you weren't thinking about this. Have you ever thought about the way that you live could be a sense of blasphemy to God? The way that I might be living is telling someone to basically speak evil about God. We're called ambassadors for Christ. I'm the best picture that someone has of Christ. So if they see me acting a certain way, they're going to associate that with Christ. And if I'm acting like an idiot, guess what that is? Blasphemy. The next thing he talks about is evil communication, or filthy communication, I'm sorry. Filthy communication. I mean, that's just gossiping, talking about someone behind their back. All these things are things that go on a daily basis, unfortunately, within our lives. And these are things that we have to get rid of in order for us to equip ourselves the way that we need to. Lastly, look at verse 9. What does it say? After he goes through that list, he says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another." Lying. Uh-oh. That's one I love to do. "Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." All these things, man, that he's telling us to put off. And then finally in verse 10, he talks about what you can put on. It's a great list. Just look at these things within your own life. Look at anger. What are you angry about? What have you tried to act on your anger about with? Have you continued to talk bad about someone or blaspheme the name of God or continue to have filthy communication come out of your mouth? Simply think of filthy communication as this. Is what I'm saying going to bring praise or glory to God? And if it isn't, I probably shouldn't be talking about it. If God can't get the glory out of it, I probably shouldn't be saying it. And then you get lying. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. I think we forget that so many times today within Christianity. We make, I make leeway for myself in the sense of being able to say, well, you know what, I'm only a man. In the sense of saying, well, I'm going to sin. and giving myself that leeway. Well, the Bible says we have power over that. I don't have to if I don't want to. But the problem is, guess what? I'd rather sin rather than live right for the Lord. You know? And so that's the issue. Verse 10, what does it say? And this is the process that I really want us to focus on today. But before you can do that, hey guys, there's a long laundry list of some things that we got to get off before we can start building up the right way what God wants to put in our life. So verse 10, verse 11 and 12 and 13 and 14, let's pay close attention to what's really going on here. He says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. As I start off this whole talk talking about, hey, we put on clothes, earrings, cologne, makeup, certain shoes, all these to fit a certain image. Well, I'm asking, what image are you all trying to fit? Verse 10 says, this is the only image that we should be trying to fit, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who is that, guys? That's not a rhetorical question. Who is that? All right, great. Two people know it. Okay. All right, two people know it. Oh, all right. The image is Christ. It's Jesus, guys. That's the image that we should be living after. Verse 11 says this, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The biggest thing that we see today is people trying to put on certain sides. People are being put on certain sides. You're on the right, you're on the left, or you're a racist, you're not a racist, you're for Asian pride, you're for Black pride, you're for freaking Pride Month, which is coming up. You know, they're trying to put you on sides. And right here, he says, when you're in Christ, hey, there's only one side. Well, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So guess what? The only side that we should be taking right now in all this madness that's going on, guys, is the spiritual side, being on the truth of what God's word is. I should be on Christ's side. When everyone's like, hey, are you for Black pride? No, I'm on Christ's side. I'm for Christ's pride. Are you for Pride Month? Yes, I am. I'm for Christ's Pride Month every month, 12 months of the year. Okay? That's the pride we should be taking up. And then look what else he tells us to put on. Now he starts to lay on this list of the things that we can put on. Put on, first of all, the new man who's renewed in what? Knowledge. After the image of him that created him. And then in verse 12 he says this, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. As I was a kid growing up, there were certain things that our parents had, our parents had expectations of how we were to go about doing things, how we were to talk, how we were to dress, how we were to handle ourselves in public or around certain people. And, you know, it was funny because whenever we were running to, like, you know, either friends of our parents' families or stuff like that, or we might go to like a family reunion and you meet somebody that you never met before, but everybody's your auntie or your uncle or cousin, they always had something that they would say. It's like, you know what? You look like a Sanders. You act like your daddy, or you act like your mama, or you know, they would always say certain things like that. And it got me thinking about, well, every day that we're living, clearly we're displaying the image of someone. And so it's like, well, what would our friends say if they had to, you know, say that same question about you? Based off of what you live your life like on a day-to-day basis, who your friends say you look like? Is it Christ? Or is it Lady Gaga? Is it Christ? Or is it Colin Kaepernick? Is it Christ? Or is it like LeBron James or some other, you know, idiot out in this world who's has their name lifted up and highly? Nothing wrong with LeBron James, but it's just like, hey, am I trying to be portrayed as, you know, some influencer on Instagram or TikTok? Or am I trying to be seen as the child of Christ, someone that displays Christ, someone that can they can see Christ through me? I know there's a couple times in school when we were growing up where my teammates called me grandpa and they called me preacher sometimes. And, you know, both of them, I didn't necessarily like preacher at first, but then I just started to embrace it. And it was funny because every time before we had football games, they wanted me to pray for us. And I'm not trying to say that to like pump myself up, but it's just like, well, thank the Lord at least that one time I could stand and be an example for something that my teammates around me would respect me in that regard to the fact that they would want me to say the prayer every day before or every game before every game. Now, I'm not saying I always lived in a way that was pleasing unto the Lord, but the question was, I had to ask myself, was like, well, what would that look like today within my, you know, within my social circle or just with my own, with my coworkers or just people that come in contact with me? What would they say about me? What would they truly look at within my life? Could they see Christ? And so let's look at these things that he says to put on here in verse 12. But first of all, it starts in verse 10. I'm sorry for jumping around on you guys. But first is the new man. He says, put on the new man. And that new man is Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we're supposed to be living in Christ's image. He gives us that example. And look what he says in verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him. How are we renewed in our knowledge today? Does anyone have the answer to that? We have the world's wisdom. We have the world's knowledge. Or how are we spiritually renewed in our mind today?
She said reading the Bible. Very quiet.
Yes, that's it. Reading the Bible. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Talks about that in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, guess what? That's the part of forming this new image. You first have to change your mind. If you don't have a mindset change, you're not going to change internally, which ultimately you're not going to change your actions on the outside. Verse 12, put therefore on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. If you ever think about someone's bowels, you know, you probably think about it in a disgusting way, like poop and, you know, diarrhea and stuff like that, which is usually what my mind first goes to. I like to poop, but this is not what we're talking about here. Bowels of mercies goes back to basically like a deep connection, or like it comes from someone's depth. It's like who they are. So it's not something like it's not who they are on the surface. And when you really think about who Christ is and what he did for us, it took everything that he had, man, to go on that cross and to bear that burden for us, you know. And so we should have that same set of bowels of mercies displayed towards others based upon what Christ first displayed for us. You know, I should give mercy out to others just as Christ gave that mercy to me. And when you do that, the next thing it says, you need to have kindness. Kindness. Kindness is not just simply like, okay, putting on a fake smile and, you know, going about your day. Being kind is something it takes a lot of, I guess you can say, not your own will, but it takes the Holy Spirit. Because basically when it comes down to it, verse 13 is how you do all these things. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another if any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. You have kindness based upon the fact how Christ had kindness towards you. For me, that was about, he still has kindness towards me today, but about 24 to 23 years of my life, I was living my life for myself. Christ could have killed me at any point in time in that time for the life that I was living for myself. Well, guess what? He showed kindness and grace towards me, and he gave me many, many second chances. So why can't we give people today many second chances since we've been given so many second chances within our own life? The next thing, humbleness. Why do we always have to be the ones lifted up? Why can't we be the ones that are not seen? Why can't we be the ones that are just sitting down, just doing simply what God would have us to do? Humbleness of mind, being meek, having long suffering. Long suffering means to simply suffer long. How long has the Lord dealt with us with long suffering? For me, it's been 29 years. He's been suffering long with me every day of my life. I don't know about you all, but 29 years is a long time in my little world. And for him to be patient with me and suffering long with me throughout that whole time, why can't I show that same long suffering to someone else? And like I said, it all goes back to verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Never forget that, because that's how you can live with bowels of mercy, with kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And then lastly, you get these last two things. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. What is charity today? Does anybody know what that is? Guys, you guys, I want to hear from the guys. I've heard from the girls. Does anybody know what charity is? Huh? Giving away? Yeah. To the less fortunate. It doesn't always have to be less fortunate. But yes, it is the giving away. Charity is something that is not about itself. It's basically, charity is like a sacrifice when it comes down to it. And yes, it is giving up of something. It's the giving up of yourself. It's the giving up of your will for someone else. And what comes with this is the bond of perfectness. Now, this doesn't mean you'll be perfect, but you'll be perfect for God's use, as it talks about over in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And so over there it talks about, goodness, I just lost my mind. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfectly, may be perfect, duly furnished unto all good works. Goodness, that was rough. So, you see that process there. But lastly, like I said, based upon the time that we're in, guys, there's just some things. The last thing that I want us to put on, I've showed us the warning, what we need to be aware of over in Colossians 2:8. I've showed us what we need to put off in verses 8 and 9. And I've showed us what we need to put on. But the last thing we need to put on is basically just simply this. It's a watch. It's a watch. I don't know if you guys listened to what Pastor Bob was talking about on last Thursday, but it was a very good discourse on just where we're headed as a church and where we're headed as a nation and where we're headed as Christians in our in these last times. And he pretty much gave a great example of like how America has to fall, how we're going to have to probably go through some good pain and torture and strife and struggle, which none of us has really ever experienced. I'm not going to say that I've really had to face anything hard. I haven't, guys. But something that gives me comfort is understanding, okay, all of my brothers and sisters in the past have. And they got through it. And if God got them through it, he can get me through it. And if you turn over to Romans 13, you'll see this last portion that I want us to talk about. So like I said, we've been talking about putting on things, putting on clothes. Well, the next thing, the last thing I want you guys to put on is a watch. What does a watch do? It keeps time. It keeps you on track. It keeps you moving forward. It gives you perspective of where you are. It gives you perspective of where you've come from. And it gives you perspective of where you're headed. So what's the perspective that God has for us here? Romans 13, verses 11 through the end of the chapter is where we're going to be. And it says this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake. Someone's asleep. Is it you? It was me. Out of sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Do we really believe that? I don't believe so. Because I guess what? I think the first reaction most people had when they had the mask mandates lifted was, I can get back to my normal life. What's my next vacation? What's my next trip I'm going to plan? what's the next big game that I'm going to go to? Not the person next to me might be dying and going to hell. Have we ever thought about that? Have we ever thought about that? The fact that we have a limited amount of time on this earth to tell someone the truth. All God wants us to do is just tell that to one person. One person. Verse 12. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But this is the last thing we should put on. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereon. So put your watch on. What's your watch, you might ask? Well, watch is simply this. I want you to watch the Lord's words. Your watch is going to be built up of these five things. Words. What are the Lord's words? Compare your words with His words. Watch the Lord's actions. Do my actions line up with His actions? The next things are His thoughts. Watch His thoughts. Isaiah 55 gives us verses 8 and 9 talks about what His thoughts are. How His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. The fourth thing I want you to watch are His choices. Watch His companions. The last thing I want you to look at is I want you to watch the Lord's heart. When you look at Jesus Christ over in John 17, what was on His heart was God's words. What's on your heart? So when we put this watch together, you have the Lord's words, you have His actions, you have His thoughts, you have His choices, or His companions, and you have His heart. When you have all those things together, guess what? You're going to be perfect for the time that you're in for God's use. And like Pastor Bob talked about, guys, hey, this is not the time to be comfortable. This is not the time, to be focused about, I can go out to a good game and do this. I mean, hey, enjoy those things. But, guys, understand what time we're truly living in. And I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, as they would say, but it's just, hey, guys, we have a responsibility. And during this time, this life that we're living right now, this is the time for us to work. And you guys have some of the best opportunities to reach some of the young people in your lives. If it's just one person, guys, that's all that God asks. That's all that He wants to see that we'll be faithful with. So let's just put off some things within our lives so we can put on the right things and ultimately just be ready for what the Lord would have for us each day that we have left. So I love you guys. I'm sorry for the roughness of that, and in the sense of not how harsh it was. I don't think it was harsh, but it could have been put together better by me. But I love you guys. Hope that was useful. And I'll turn it over to Zach.
No, good stuff, Alex. I mean, that was perfect. I hope you guys were paying attention to that. A lot of good stuff. I got renewed listening. But I can't add to anything that he said. That's great. But one thing that we do need to know, this is our last Thursday for cleanup crew. So let's hit the sanctuary first, set everything up for Sunday. Then we'll migrate to the bathrooms. And then after that, we'll just get the trash out of here. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Alex, for bringing that message tonight. Great stuff. I'll pray. Excuse me. And then we'll be dismissed. Let's head to the sanctuary. Then we'll hit the bathrooms. And then the trash, last but not least. Anyway, thank you so much, Lord, for what Alex shared with us. Thank you for just putting that on his heart. Just so many good things. I would love to, recap and talk about Heavenly Father. But I pray that you would do that work with the kids one-on-one as individuals. If their heart was really open to that and they want to move forward with you, Lord, and not get caught up in the things of this world, please take some time tonight and just spend with them, Lord, when they get alone. And just exercise those things and continue to water those things in their hearts so that they can sprout up to some fruit for you. Well, we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys.
Thanks, Lord.